The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 105 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you again. We've had a little extended long bank holiday weekend, haven't we, here in the UK? So hopefully you're rested, recharged, and ready to go for another great podcast.
Yeah, well, we are back once again with our spotlight on member. And we always do this on the first episode of the month, and we look back at the last 30 days. And we just select one of our wonderful members from the Seven Steps to Wealth program who's been having some great results. And this week, or this month, I should say, we're shining the spotlight on Paul Ambler. And Paul joined us way back when, Kevin, when we launched. So Paul's a founder member.
Yeah, well, Paul's been in the community for a while, and such a nice guy and a joy to have him in the community, not just as someone who receives value from it, but he's very passionate about giving value back, and I'm sure that will come across in your interview. And the other thing I'd point out is when Paul came to us, he was, you know, he says himself, you know, he wasn't always as confident as he sounds in the interview. You know, so wealth building is a journey of transformation, and I think his confidence and his decisiveness have dramatically improved. And being transformed by him being humble. And I think he uses that word several times, doesn't he? Humility being an important skill in a wealth builder. And a fascinating interview, Chris. And I think you did your absolute best to pull out all of the lessons from him.
Yeah, thank you. So before we head on over to the conversation with Paul today, you mentioned the word transformation there, Kevin. And indeed, the wealth building process is a transformation. But even for us, because when we launched the membership back in May 2019, it was a very different looking program to the one that it is today. And we've evolved, we've updated a lot since we've been going, thanks to our members and feedback from our founder members. And we created the Seven Steps program, which we launched about a year ago. And it's evolved once again now, Kevin. And I think we've nailed it now, and we've got the recurring revenue roadmap, which is now a 9-step process. And that's what obviously we've been referring to over the last couple of months and certainly in our member spotlights. But we've got some exciting news because we're actually now changing Seven Steps to Wealth program to the Wealth Builders Academy. And this is an exciting, big update for anyone who is currently in our program or even currently interested in working with us. And we're going to be holding a webinar on Thursday the 3rd of June to show you exactly what's changed. So looking forward to that one, Kevin. We're going to be walking through all of the new content that we've recorded, showing everyone what these 9 steps are, and of course inviting some of our members to share how it's been working for them too.
Sure. I mean, a couple of points. One is the humility that is shown in spades with Paul. We have to show ourselves, and we invite all of our contributors and all of our members to tell us, you know, what we could do better, how we could do better, because we know wealth building is not an easy process. If it was, you pick up a book, you know, and a few weeks later, da-da, you'd be wealthy, but it doesn't happen. It takes a while. It's you know, there are bumps along the way, and there are frustrations along the way, and we're keen to try and help cut the paths off, if you like, give shortcuts to people so that when they're feeling frustrated, inevitably wealth does that, then you've got more support and more opportunities to connect. So yeah, we've improved the program. The other value in having the academy is it widens the scope of what we're looking at now. So we're creating a, well, I like to say it's a little black book, but it's a blooming big one, Chris. You know, we've got over 60 categories now of support, you know, where people need somebody with a specific expertise, where I personally interviewed selected individuals to help our members and to bring some kind of discount, some kind of bonus, some kind of value, and also to make sure they're the best in the class for what they do. You know, I've said many times before, it's a who culture here at Wealth Builders. There's always somebody who can help you with a shortcut, and shortcut sees that frustration. So definitely tune in on the Thursday, 3rd of June. Yeah, and check out what we're doing, and we'll be inviting others to provide some education to add to ours, because we're humble too, Chris. We want to invite other people's contributions as well as the intellectual value of our own.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we're expecting a big turnout for that. And we'd love to see you there. We really, really would. So head on over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy launch, all one word, academy launch. Register for the webinar on the 3rd of June and join Kevin and myself for that. Okay, so let's move on then, and let's listen to our spotlight on today's member, Mr. Paul Ambler.
Paul, welcome to Wealth Talk today. Good to have you on.
Yeah, hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, Paul, you've had a great month. In fact, you've had a really good, strong start to the year, and you're one of our founder members as well. So very much looking forward to hearing your story and your journey. And as usual, on the member spotlights, we'll be walking through the 9 steps of our recurring revenue roadmap today. So why don't we kick off with step number one? And step number one is mindset. So it's all about starting with why. So when you joined us, Paul, what was your reason for joining? Can you remember?
Yeah, so I'm going to go. I mean, I joined the foundation in October 19. So I guess what's that? Nearly a year and a half to 20 months ago, something like that. And I had recently left my job. And I want to say recently, probably a year before that, in February 18. But that was after quite a bumpy 12 months. But the feeling of wanting to make some sort of seismic change had been there for some time, because I've got 2 children who are now 10 and 12, but it's, you know, when I was left my previous role in 2015, they were quite young. And what I was starting to find was that I'd carved out a fairly decent career in corporate world, but a lot of my time was based in London, which was about 80 miles away from where I actually live. So I was missing out on quite a lot of time with the kids. And there was just this one particular moment when I was thinking, so I was standing on, I think, about 6th floor of a glass building in London, and I'm picking up my phone and I'm ringing my wife to basically say I'm not coming back for my child's nativity play. And, you know, I was literally going to go across the road to Marks and Spencer's and buy pants and shirt so I could stay down for another night, because some really important meeting that I could not get back for. And I sort of woke up the next morning, and that, I mean, that's got to be what, best part, probably 8-9 years ago, and still kind of haunts me now. And that, I think, was probably the pivotal moment when I just thought, you know what, I've got to have a think about this. I'm earning okay, so it was never about the money. I actually quite didn't mind the job at the time, but I was just missing out on so much. And I just thought, you know what, I've got to do something different. And then eventually that manifested itself in 2017. We're making the decision, and it took till early 2018 to leave. And I guess the rest is history.
Yeah. And can you remember how you came across Wealth Builders, and why did you decide to work with us in particular?
I can't remember how I came across you guys, if I'm honest, but it was just a case of I'd been on a course or something, and I think Kevin had been there, and he mentioned the word SaaS, and I knew I had some final salary pensions that would be reasonably tasty, and I started to talk to him about that about maybe 12 months even before I actually joined officially Wealth Builders on the foundation course, as it was then. And yeah, I just decided to go with you guys because I already knew a little bit about property, which is my main pillar. But what I found was there were lots of specialist trainers and people that, you know, reckon they can make you rich doing a certain particular strategy. But what I was looking for was someone who's a bit more holistic and would look at wealth in the round, you know, and all the different sort of asset classes that you could utilize to get to that point. And, you know, Kevin resonated with me. What you guys were doing resonated. And I was a bit of a DIYer, I think, is the expression that that you guys have used. And I certainly can resonate with that. And so I was doing okay, but I just didn't have the guidance, and there was no sort of roadmap or blueprint to follow. And I really liked what Wealth Builders was about. So that's kind of how it started. And then eventually officially got joined up in October 19.
Excellent. Okay. So step two then is the wealth gap. So this is really understanding about, you know, the 5 levels of wealth, where you are, where the next level is. So can you remember which of those levels you were at when you joined?
Well, the lowest. It's simple. It's below the lowest, probably. Yeah. So I was in a reasonably good job, so you know my levels of income were pretty decent. So I had to go and get back to somewhere near that to get to financial security. But I was below financial security. I did have a small property portfolio that was generating some income and probably cover about half our running costs, if you like, for the month. So, and I saved up and planned for this exit. But yeah, it was below financial security is where I kind of started.
Okay. And where are you now?
Well, I'm glad to say we went to financial security very quickly, just in one or two deals. And then, yeah, we've made quite a big stride forward over the last 18 months and we've gone through financial independence and we're kind of sitting at just about financial abundance, I guess, and moving right the way through. So I'm now gunning for that financial legacy figure, which is a pretty big one. But, you know, if I think about where we were, we're probably six and a half times the income of where we were when I sort of sat down and worked it out to start off with, which is, and certainly that's where we'll be by the end of the year. I mean, there's a couple of things in the pipeline, so they're not necessarily dropping in just yet. But, you know, one or two have done in the last few months, and, you know, you can notice it. It's a lot of hard work, but it has moved me along that that funnel, well, up the funnel, if you like. And the thermometer is nice and full, which is great.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. And I mean, stage one in the recurring revenue roadmap is all about building confidence. So, you know, we're on step two here, which is understanding, you know, are you at insecurity, security, independence? But, you know, how has your confidence changed and your mindset over that period of 18 months? You know, how do you feel now compared to when you started?
Considerably different. You know, it was... You know, I lacked a lot of confidence, even though I wasn't necessarily doing anything particularly wrong. I used to deliberate quite a lot, whereas now I'm quite decisive on things. I still beat myself up, but you know, having that roadmap and that guidance from you, for yourself, and from the wealth coaches as they later became, and obviously Kevin in particular, just allowed me to sort of stay on a certain path and know that kind of what I'm doing is right, and just to stick with it. And you know, when I kind of met you and Deck. Kevin, way back when we could meet people back in hotels many, many moons ago, and I sat down and kind of asked me what I wanted, and I said I just wanted a sounding board. You know, I just wanted someone to talk through what I was thinking and help me out. And that's where, you know, I think it's been really great value. And yeah, I had a particularly challenging project I was doing last year, and you know, I remember just picking up the phone to Kevin, and it was just in the acquisition actually, because we're just about to acquire a property as COVID broke out, and he just did a role play with me, and it literally 5 minutes. And it just changed my whole attitude to the deal. And, you know, thank God I picked up the phone and we arranged that Zoom and went through it, because it made a difference. And that one project alone is probably going to put in £1,500 a month in my pocket every month, as long as I hold on to it. So, you know, a really, really crucial 5 minute conversation.
Brilliant. Yeah. So the foundations are in place. And the final step, step three, is to put the roof on. So do you have any examples, Paul, of, you know, checking your roof, making sure that you had that protection in place?
Yeah, as I said, I was fairly savvy about things. You know, I'd already got a will and legal powers of attorney, and you know, I do also do protection insurance myself for other people, and so I had got a level of insurance. But it's just, you know, making sure that everything is in place and it's all up to date, and making sure, you know, we've got the right you know, value on there, and making sure that we're well protected, and you know, moving. The biggest one was, of course, moving our pensions into our trust effectively. Now, that protected that legacy money really for myself and my wife and my kids ultimately, that we just couldn't have got to, you know.
That leads us nicely into stage two now, which is all about building knowledge. So we start with step four, and that's the seven pillars, you know, the assets. Now, you talked about obviously already had experience in the property pillar. So, you know, you built upon that. And have you been able to diversify and learn about some of the other pillars along that journey?
Yeah. I mean, I think it wasn't so much about learning about other pillars particularly. It was more about the strategies within that pillar. So I was very much into, you know, vanilla buy-to-lets, let's call them that. I had done some renovations and some extensions and bits and pieces like that, but it was, you know, very much a standard 2-3 bedroom buy-to-lets. And I'd done it the old-fashioned way of just working hard, saving some money, enough to get a deposit, buy it, and just, you know, grateful to pick up £200, maybe £300 a month if you're lucky. And we had a few of those, so it wasn't going too badly. And we were fortunate we'd benefit from some low interest rates, which I knew was kind of artificially making it look a lot more impressive than it actually was. But what I did learn, and that's where sort of collaboration with Wealth Builders and people within Wealth Builders and, you know, friends of Wealth Builders, should we say, was around the strategies. And particularly, you know, I've become a bit of an expert, I suppose, if I don't mind blowing my own trumpet a little bit, is on HMOs. You know, really got into the detail. I've got a law degree in my education. I'm quite a detailed sort of person. And, you know, I really got into the skin of that. You know, I'm not the best at flair and design, but, you know, I really got into that. And that's really allowed me to get, you know, really clued up on the sort of financial side. And we virtually get all our money out on every deal that we do. And they're big, you know, six, seven bathroom projects. When others are leaving big chunks of change in there, we're managing to get ours out. And that's just really for good financial planning and the way we do things. But so that was a particular strategy that we've really embraced.
Yeah, that's good. So just on the pillars then, I know that you mentioned pension. So pension pillar you've brought into play, and joint venture pillar as well?
Yeah, so we do joint ventures. I've got a business partner, which on one of our companies. That's effectively a long-term joint venture. We have invested in others as well, which is great. And we're in the process of just doing some joint ventures now. But the pension was the big one because, yeah, both my wife and myself had final salary pensions. Only three pensions in total, but they were, you know, decent amount of monies. In fact, we only just got the third tranche of that money come through, I think last week or the week before. So that's it. But it's taken a long time, a lot of hard work. But, you know, Wealth Builders and Paul in particular, Paul Brooks, and then, you know, Empower Pensions have supported us through that process. And, you know, we've got that. And all our pensions are now ours and that under control, which has been massive.
Yeah, good. So, the synergy of different pillars working together there to, you know, give you that strength, really. So, okay, moving into step five. Step five is leverage. So we know leverage is key to wealth building, and it's not always about financial leverage, but, you know, it's intellectual leverage. So your experiences and your relationship leverage, systems, and then obviously time. You know, we're all most people are short of time. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're putting our time into the right thing. So have you got any examples of how you've brought leverage into play to help you build your wealth?
I think the biggest one for us is obviously leveraging SaaS, but actually it's about leveraging the relationships and, you know, collaboration with others. So we've got, you know, investors that have been kind enough to support us on our journey, which has helped. That takes a lot of, you know, collaboration and leveraging someone else's money, which is the biggest one. They get a great return and we get a great return. We generally hold on to the asset as well. So we get a lot of recurring income from that. You know, we've leveraged our SaaS money through things like loan backs, but we've also leveraged it through investing in other people where they'll actually not just give us a return on our cash, but a return on our intellect, you know, actually some help us learn about stuff, particular strategies along the way, you know, like commercial conversions or HMOs, whatever it might be. We've tried to leverage that, and obviously we've leveraged the experience of others who are further down the path that we want to tread and learn from their mistakes. You know, I leverage my buddy group, you know, I leverage Kevin, I leverage everybody to a certain extent in the nicest possible way, you know, and I'm also willing to help others where I can as well, yeah, to return that favour.
So step six is strategy. So we've heard that your strategy is HMOs, and are you exploring any other strategies, or are you just keeping focused on the one?
No, we're not focused on one. So we have, myself and Matt have a serviced accommodation apartments. I have several buy-to-lets, geographically diverse as well, in the northeast, the northwest, the Midlands, where I am, in the sort of East Midlands, some stuff like London. It's all over, and that's deliberate to give us that regional diversification, because, you know, to focus too much on one area is probably not necessarily prudent, in my opinion. HMOs have been a big one, you know, and it's not necessarily something that I particularly embraced in the early days, you can't ignore the rewards that it can deliver. So we've just decided to go right towards the high end. You know, we spend a lot of money on renovating these, and we focus particularly on the build quality. And we start with our customers, our tenants in mind. You know, what do they want? What would make them happy? And we work backwards from there. And we just don't cut any corners. We're high quality. You know, we were told by one of the fire officers recently, we're the best in the region now at what we do. And yeah, it's an extremely proud moment, but it's just doing everything with integrity and making sure that we, you know, we really focus on that. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've obviously seen the photos and the videos of your properties, Paul, and they are absolutely magnificent. So
perhaps you should check. I've got the latest one now. I've got the video a couple of days ago, so I'll upload that as well.
I was going to say, why don't you share that in the Wealth Builders Facebook community, and then everyone listening can see the quality of your properties. Great. So we're moving into stage three now. So stage three is all about the action. It's about building the assets. So step seven is focus. This is where the Wheel of Wealth comes into play. You know the Wheel of Wealth. It's education, support, connections, due diligence, and guided action. So, you know, our coaches are there now to help you every month. Stay super focused on turning the wheel. So, you know, how has your experience of working with the coaches been?
Great. Brilliant, in fact. You know, I've chosen to stick with one coach, and that's Chris Henry. Yeah, big shout out to Chris. He's a great guy. Yeah, we get on really well. Yeah, we've got a lot of shared values, which is great, you know, personally as well as wealth building approach, and I've stuck with that for continuity, for consistency from my point of view. We're now at a stage where I actually send him my quarterly targets, and we start our monthly meetings with a review against those. So now I've got the accountability there as well. He's in a similar strategy to me, so he can give me some tips. And you know, when I'm losing my mind sometimes, a bit of overwhelm, he just brings me back down and calms me down and just gives me a couple of key nuggets to think about. And it's been really helpful. And, you know, maybe I've helped him as well along the way, but it's been a very good sort of relationship. And I actually really look forward to those every month.
Great. I bet Chris loves those quarterly reports because he's a detailed man himself. So
Yeah, I did buy him lots of spreadsheets and PowerPoints. And he's very gracious and helps me out on those. And it's been very, very useful.
Brilliant. So obviously turning the wheel should result in either capital or cash flow, which leads us into step eight, which is about results. And of course, measuring results regularly, you know, to be able to look back and see the progress, because, you know, we know that periods go by where it feels like progress is not being made. So, you know, in the last 18 months, have you had those periods, Paul, where you felt like you're not making progress? But obviously, if you're tracking results, you can look back and you can see how far you've come.
Yeah, I'm not really one to shout about what we do, and I tend to keep things pretty much quite private, and it does sometimes lead to overwhelm, and you do beat yourself up. But I'd urge not just myself, but everybody who's doing this property journey in particular, which is a tough one. You know, it's a bumpy old ride that we go on. It's a roller coaster. You know, to take some time out to reflect, and you do that. And actually, just getting ready for this conversation, you know, you look back and you go, well, you know, this has been, am I doing the right thing, etc. And you look at it, you go, well, just take the last three properties. So the one we're about to do, the one we just finished, the one we shared before on some of the other platforms and last year. Just those three. So not everything else we're doing. You know, those three will now turn over something in the region of about 130,000, 140,000, of which we will, you know, net out at about half that on an annual basis. You know, that's a good result just from those three. They're probably worth now 1.3 million. You know, we've probably injected 300 grand of forced appreciation, you know, just through good project management. You know, these are, and you look back and it, you know, if you look at it on a day-to-day basis, it feels very, very hard, but when you look about it and look back in the round and you take it over a length of time, you know, there's an expression I think Bill Gates quite often quotes, you know, people underestimate what they can do in what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10, and you know, probably even 5. You know, you can seismically change where you are. I mean, I started earlier by talking about, you know, being below financial security, and now here we are in financial abundance. It doesn't take that long if you've got the time, the effort, the tenacity, the resilience, you know, the focus, the support, the education to keep going. You know, and to quote Churchill, you know, never give up, never, you know, just keep going. It's, you'll have those days when you perhaps want to stay in bed and just, you know, pull the covers over, but yeah, try to avoid those and try to get out of bed and get going and get on the treadmill or do something else to clear your mind and come back to it. Because, you know, when you take time out to look back at those results, I think, yeah, you might be just a bit amazed at what you've achieved. And certainly that's how I felt at times.
Yeah, and it's great as well, you know, you're submitting your progress reports each month, Paul, because, you know, some of our members sometimes forget to do that. And hopefully they're listening now, and I'll definitely encourage, you know, take that 5-10 minutes just to take stock and just, you know, submit the progress report, and, you know, helps us to keep track and see, you know, if anyone is stuck, that's a great opportunity for us to just reach out and say, okay, what help do you need? So step 9. We're at the final step. This is all about accelerating your way forward. And you've already said, Paul, you know, the next financial level really for you is abundance now. And what do you see as being key to helping you continue to stay focused and take the necessary steps to, you know, to keep pushing on?
Yeah, I mean, I probably stepped ahead a little bit there because it's, you know, I mentioned some of them. And one of the big ones is about, you know, repetition. You know, there's no harm in turning the same wheel several times. You know, you do get better. Take it from me. I mean, I'm just doing my 5th and 6th kind of simultaneously HMOs. You know, this is a strategy that just seemed quite big and scary 24 months ago. And here I am now, you know, and we'll probably do 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, probably by the end of the year, you know. So it's, you get better, you get slicker, you get more efficiencies, you get more economies of scale, you get more stability, you get better recognition, you know, reputation. You know, we've got valuers now. We can virtually value our properties without seeing them, you know, and build those sort of relationships. And they just go, oh, yeah, we know what you guys do. It'll be like the last one, but it's going to, yeah, just like the last one. You know, okay, it'll be same figures as the last one. Yeah, it'll be roughly the same. Yeah. And you kind of, you know, what that does is mitigates risk and reduces the level of uncertainty because you kind of know how to get into the mind of those, let's say, valuers or HMO officers just walk in and they, or private sector housing officers, they walk in and they have supreme confidence. You know, the fire officers come around and everything's signed off in 5 minutes because they can see what we stand for. But you've got to keep going. You've got to keep sticking with it. And, you know, tenacity and repetition and resilience are probably three key things. And then collaboration, you know, that's the other thing. It's never be too proud to kind of ask for help either. You know, I'm maybe sounding like I'm confident, but trust me, I wasn't. And, you know, you have to get that help and learn from others and, you know, try and remain humble. You know, humility is quite a good thing. And, you know, there's always somebody better than you, you know, out there that can help you as well. And, you know, whilst I don't write books or sell courses or anything like that, you know, I'm always willing to help people. Maybe I should. Maybe your listeners will tell me if they're interested in writing something or sharing something. But, you know, it's there's always someone out there to help, and you're not on your own. And, you know, in those tough days, just remember it's a long game. You know, it's not a short game. If it was a get rich quick, I guess everyone would be doing it. But there's nothing wrong with getting rich slowly either. So as long as you get rich, that's the key thing, right?
No, great words to end us on there, Paul. And, you know, we say it's average journey of 5 years. You know, you've just shown today that it can be shorter if you really are focused and you've got a clear plan and make good use of all the resources that you have around you. So well done once again. And we look forward to seeing and hearing about future successes to come.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, thanks for your time, Chris.
Wow, really enjoyed listening. Well, in fact, speaking to Paul there and listening to him talk his way through the progress that he's made. So we'll dive into that as we always do, Kevin, but let's head to Trustpilot and have a look, see who has been kind enough to leave us a review in the last 7 days. And I'm looking at one from George Troy, actually. So listeners, you may remember George was on episode 94 of Wealth Talks and sharing his story of how he became financially independent. And he's left us a review, Kevin. So he said, if you make a mistake while using your SaaS, then that can become very costly indeed. I chose Wealth Builders for their excellent training and support. They did a great job of helping me through the transfer of my 4 company pensions into a new SaaS. So there you go.
All right, short and sweet, but very, very effective. And of course, the SaaS word, the kind of turning your pension into a vehicle that's an arrowhead towards your future rather than just looking backwards at your past, is a very powerful form of leverage. And Paul refers that himself, doesn't he, as maybe several times, I think, he refers to that as a bit of a game changer for him on his journey. But some interesting points though picked out.
Yes. Well, I mean, Paul actually mentioned when the three of us, we met up, didn't we, in London? I remember it very well. We were sat around the table at a hotel and talking to Paul about, you know, why he wanted to embark on working with us. And he was always very driven by his family, wasn't he? And you mentioned there, you know, two young children. He actually said, you know, he was just missing out on so much. So it was a very powerful catalyst for him. And he's now got so much more free time. So, you know, that was a great starting point.
Well, the catalyst is a very important word because, you know, if you think back to Newton's first law, which is an object at rest stays at rest. Anybody can remember that from their basic physics. But it's the same with wealth building. Unless something stirs you, something stimulates you to change the status quo, to get out of your comfort zone and do something different, it's that first ROI, the reason to overcome inertia. And Paul demonstrates that in spades. And, you know, I think it's a very common trait, Chris, that when people powerfully make dramatic changes in their wealth, it almost always stirs or is stirred up from a very powerful and compelling reason why.
Yeah. And we know the reason for holding people back. In fact, we did five reasons last week, didn't we, on the episode. But, you know, most people that haven't got a clear plan, so they end up drifting. They don't have the right support. And ultimately, you know, they give up too soon. They just don't stick with it long enough because there are hurdles along the way. So we know those are the things that hold people back. And Paul said he was attracted to wealth builders because of the holistic approach and because of that structure. And having a clear path and the guidance helped him stay on track. And, you know, that is so important.
I think I'm very proud of the fact, Chris, that to my knowledge, and certainly I'd love to be corrected and collaborate with others, but to my knowledge, I think Wealth Builders is the only company, at least in the UK, that is completely holistic. You know, we're aware of how wealth is built. We're not pushing anybody down a particular path. We don't sell sort of, you know, mini courses and then more courses and then try and just get people to buy education. Our passion is education, of course, but we don't mind where people get that education from as long as they combine it with support, connections, and due diligence. And I think that's the bit that's often missing that's out there. So I'm glad he spotted that, and I'm glad many others are spotting that and sharing that with others. And, you know, I'm delighted we continue to be holistic and impartial and all things wealth, and we don't push our own agenda ever.
And Paul's just such a great example of when you get that clarity, when you are clear on exactly what that path looks like, how quickly you can move through the levels. And, you know, we've seen that with Paul starting at a place of insecurity, quickly getting to security and empowering through to independence in the space of 18 months. So, yeah, it's absolutely achievable. And talking about some of those strategies and pillars, and, you know, often they get a little bit merged, don't they, when people talk of those. But, of course, you know, they are entwined. And for Paul, it was predominantly property. So starting with buy-to-lets and then moving quickly into HMOs and very, very good, high-quality HMOs. And then also service departments as well. So, you know, he's used multiple strategies there. And in terms of the pillars, obviously we've talked about his pension. He said his wife and himself had final salary pensions, which they used to create their SAS. And of course, he has a joint venture.
Yeah, so, you know, it's very elegant, isn't it, that all things are putting into play. It sounds like it's easy, but it isn't, because you have to craft and combine and weave these things all together. And it doesn't happen, you know, just quickly. It kind of takes place over many weeks, many months, and many conversations and thoughts. And I can remember that role play that Paul and I had when he was debating that that big one that's added such a substantial sum of money to his wealth thermometer. And, you know, he was overanalyzing it and definitely thinking that, you know, he could squeeze a little bit more out of it from the vendor. And I role played it with him and pretended to be a tough vendor, you know, being upset by the fact he was trying to renegotiate the price. And then at the end of the role play, I said, right, now you know you've got the risk of losing this. You know, do you really want to do that for the sake of a few thousand pounds? And of course, you know, he relayed that story back there, not in quite as much detail, but certainly, you know, again, being humble enough to say, hey, you know, I thought one thing, I talked it through with someone. And that's important too, you know, with the support of buddy groups and mentors and guides. It's always important to talk things out. And because wealth building can be quite lonely when you're, you're faced with all of these different options. Just think of what Paul's got there in front of him, as you said, buy-to-let, HMOs, service accommodation, pension, final salary, SaaS, a whole raft of different things. And if you don't talk those things out, you can get yourself into a place of, you know, incredible confusion. And when you're more analytical, you can overanalyze, which can hold you back. And that's another reason why some people just simply don't break through that inertia and they get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, the relationship's such a big part. Obviously, three cornerstones of Wealth Builders: good education, good support, great connections, trusted connections, I should say. And Paul talked about having that regular pulse with his wealth coach, Chris Henry, every 30 days. And that is that opportunity, really, just to get it off your chest and say what's working, what's not working, recalibrate, and then focus forwards on the next 30 days. So I guess the final kind of lesson there was that results are not always obvious until you look back and review how far you've come. And Paul said, even, you know, getting ready for the podcast was that moment of just really looking back and just going, wow, you know, actually, I've come a long way. And it's, you know, when you're in the thick of it week to week, often you don't notice that, which is why we really, well, step eight in the process is results every 30 days. You know, make sure you're submitting your progress report. Just take stock of the conversations that you've had, of the things you've learned, and of course, any recurring income that you've been able to add to your thermometer.
Yeah, but remember, you don't add money every month. It's not like a job. You know, when you turn up for the job, you get a paycheck at the end of the month. You turn up, you get a paycheck at the end of the month. Wealth building is sporadic. It's intermittent. It doesn't work that way. You could be, like with Paul there, with, you know, an HMO, you could be 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months in the making, and then the money comes through. So it's like giving birth to a baby. You know, you don't have a baby in a month. It takes 9 months. You've got to live with it. Now, wealth is a bit like that. Of course, it's not all 9 months, but I use that as an analogy. But it's just different ways that different revenue streams come, and you just have to know it's coming and measure what you're doing, measure activity every month. Don't measure the results every month. So let's just be clear, when we're saying in step eight, it's results, it's the results of your actions, because it's you that changes when you go through that. So measuring what you're doing is as important as keeping that thermometer on the rise.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that with Paul Ambler today. And, you know, if you want to visually see the roadmap, the recurring revenue roadmap, come to life, then do make sure you register for our Academy launch webinar on Thursday, 3rd of June. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/Academy launch, and Kevin and I will be delighted to see you there. So that rounds off episode 105, Kevin. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, enjoyed that very much. And always good to see one of our members powering through, and looking forward to seeing what's next for Paul, and looking forward to seeing who's going to be next in June. But again, we'll probably get to that maybe just after the launch, Chris, and looking forward to the Academy launch. It's a new look, new feel, new content, you know, new, more empowering groups of people to serve, and a new partners that we're working with to help you know, help people make that progress that so eludes so many.
Great. Thank you for listening today. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Until next time, my friend. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.